It's just a little bit before 4 p.m. here on KDNK, and you are tuned to Everything Under the Sun, a little half-hour news segment with me, or sometimes Megan, of the Soper Sun. I'm Will, the editor. With me in the studio today, Sue Gray of the Mount Soper Historical Society. Sorry, Carbondale Historical Society. Is that official
Correct.
Now?
Okay. Yep, it's official.
And Melody Cardiff of many different things, in this time kind of just speaking for the Gianettis, I guess.
Yes, that's right. I am a Gianetti.
And the reason that we've brought them both together is Potato Day. We're about 2 weeks out and narrowing down what we're planning on. I'm a member of the committee that's planning it. Sue is also the Historical Society is proving to be one of the main beneficiaries. And then the Gianettis are providing and making sure that we have some excellent prizes for the parade to try to encourage people to participate. So when did Ernie get in touch with you about this particular plan of his?
Late yesterday.
So what did he have to say on the subject? He couldn't be here today, so he sent Melanie in instead.
Well, he's actually very excited about this, and really we're wanting the business community to get involved this year, maybe more involved than they have been in past years with Potato Days. Again, trying to bring it up and the parade to a little bit of some of its old glory. So, yes, asking businesses to participate by entering a float and having some fun doing this also, which will advertise your business and involve your community.
And potentially win, you know, it sounds like The Way Home had put in a gift certificate, Roosters put in a gift certificate. There's some pretty good prizes to be had if you put in the extra effort and not just march in the parade, but make yourself a nice float. You could take your business out for dinner.
Well, yes, totally. Right now there is over $800 in different gift cards that will be awarded as first prize, second, and third place in the parade itself. So those have been gifted by The Way Home, Mi Casita, The Poor House, Red Rock Diner, Roosters, The Smithy Restaurant, and White House Pizza. And then Gianetti Spring Creeks Ranch is also helping to underwrite the event that day.
Yeah, my understanding is that they offered to pitch in up to half of the cost of a gift certificate. Not everybody took them up on it, but some of the folks did.
No, they did offer to, contribute 50% of whatever the business contributed. Some people took them up on it, or my family up on it, and then others chose not to, which is fine. All the better.
And of course, A Way Home is a Gianetti-owned business itself, so there's sort of a double support there, or Gianetti-involved, shall we say.
Well, yes, totally. Gianetti-involved, let's say.
Well, Kate is a big part of it, to my understanding.
Yes, Kate and my brother Mark and Ann, my sister-in-law, so yeah, it's fun.
Cool. Now, as far as why this is important to the Gianettis, to the businesses, and to people in general, can you kind of conjure what Potato Day has been during your lifetime?
Well, during my lifetime, my family has always been involved with Potato Days. It goes back with us participating way more than 50 years of helping with this. So it's our oldest town celebration. I know my grandparents were a big part of it way back. My dad tells me he's as far as he knows, never missed a Potato Day. And I know in my lifetime, I have never missed a Potato Day. So that's a lot of years added up together with family that has never not been to a Potato Day. So it is special to us, and it's a great community event. I have people tell me all the time that Potato Days is one of their very favorite events of the year. So it all happens with volunteers and different people, along with many of the other really great events that happen in Carbondale, you know, with our Mountain Fair, and the Carbondale Rodeo is an all-volunteer participation there, and there's Potato Days and many other events that many times it's some of the same people who are helping in all these events. So it is special, and it is a true community gathering of people. So we're excited.
That's very cool. And I have missed one Potato Day. So you guys, you and Ernie definitely have it on me. and I think Mark has probably been to all of them because we need him to be putting the meat in the ground. Otherwise, it wouldn't really be Potato Day, would it?
Well, no, and that started with our family many, many years ago. The story goes that they were having trouble getting the fire lit in the pits. This is back in the early, mid-60s, and my dad came along and said, well, I can get that fire lit for you, and we had this gas torch wood burning or for burning ditches and things, and ever since he's been lighting the fire. And then my brother, it's been, you know, it's kind of a passed down ritual in that. So it, you know, it's just something we feel like we're part of and we do every year.
For sure. So if you're interested in participating in the parade, is it October 1st that those applications are due?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And you can pick them up at the Carbondale Chamber, the Carbondale Rec Center, or at the Rec Center website, carbondalerec.com. And now you know, in addition to the standard prizes that come from the parade admission fee get distributed, you might get an even bigger prize on top of that. And I know Ernie was talking about wanting to give a few little cards out to members of the audience if they could answer some potato-based trivia, so we'll see how that goes together.
Right. He's excited about that there is some additional money. So you might be the lucky one if you know the answer and are there close to win an additional $50 gift card to go out on the town for a little dinner.
So one question I think he wanted to raise, so maybe we can put it out there now and see if people remember it 2 weeks from now. Why are russets such a popular baking potato and such a popular potato in general? What's an advantage of a russet potato over, say, a Yukon Gold or a Red McClure? Any guesses?
They're fluffier.
That's part of it. According to Ernie, it's because they're so tough. You can ship they have a really solid, peel, and so you can ship them all over the place without them getting beat up, and then they make a good baked potato because they hold together when you.
Well, they do, and they do. They are a much thicker skinned potato. Years ago, actually, Potato Days, the potatoes, now they are done in one of the pits, which Bob and Susie Sewell and my dad created this other pit saying, is there a way we can bake the potatoes in the pit, which also gives them that really yummy, smoky flavor that everybody loves so much today. But it was many of the different housewives throughout the valley that would take potatoes and then they would bake them and they were served as twice baked potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Which are very tasty, but also a lot of work to distribute all over town and get back. And
it was, and it's a different community event. So now this way it's simplified it a little bit, and there's some hoopla that goes around getting those potatoes into the pit. So it's part of the fun ritual of the night before on how they do that. So people might want to come and observe a little bit on how that all happens.
It is a fun process. I also love the way the beans are cooked around the big cauldron for the coffee. And I did talk to the fire chief a little earlier. We were in the clear to keep both of those fires burning, despite the fact that, just so you know, stage one fire restrictions are back in effect in Garfield County and Carbondale. No campfires without an established ring. No smoking unless you're indoors in a car or in a really barren area. I think that's kind of up for interpretation, but yeah, just be cautious out there. I think that's the same message we've been giving folks for a while here. But little interlude on that. Sue, you're part of kind of the Historical Society is both honoring this tradition, but you're part of the new wave of people who are taking over. The Gianettis did it for the most of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I think, and then the sororities took over the overall, although the Giannettis continued to do the actual meat cooking. And now we have a committee composed of several different organizations.
Yes. I represent the Carbondale Historical Society, also known as Mount Soper's Historical Society. We are one of the planning organizations, along with the town of Carbondale, the Soper Sun, the library, and the Chamber of Commerce. So it's five organizations putting it together this year. And the Historical Society is also one of the beneficiaries of Potato Days this year because the lunch tickets, any profits that are left from the lunch tickets will go to the Historical Society to support us and our operating costs so we can keep going and representing Carbondale's history.
Excellent. And if you want to get some free lunch tickets, this is your last day to drop a sponsorship form off at the rec center and get on the poster and get recognized. So,
that's right.
That's coming right up. And then you have until October 1st to get in the parade. Or you don't have to have your parade float done at that point, right? You just have to
enter. Yes, apply. And there is a $40 fee to enter the parade. But as we've been discussing, the prizes are definitely worth it.
Uh-huh. And you'll be up against some stiff competition. I've seen photos of what the Carbondale Historical Society has planned for their float, and it's pretty in-depth, isn't it?
Yeah, we are doing a steampunk spud theme this year, and steampunk is a genre that combines Victorian-era clothing, so lace, leather, that type of stuff, with steam technology and futuristic inventions, so dirigibles and time machines and that kind of thing. It's like a mix of science fiction and Victorian era.
Very cool. And when I was talking to Ernie and the Giannettis earlier, I understand that the theme idea came about originally as a way to kind of honor, I think there was a honoring the women of the West and then honoring the old time ranchers. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that history. Do you remember those?
Yes, absolutely. There's been many themes. Years ago, there was a completely separate committee, which I was part of for many, many years before we did turn it over to sorority. So each year, we would all brainstorm on what the theme for the year would be. So there were many of those different themes. And I think this one was based off of a little bit that my dad as a kid said they used to have airplanes that came in and would land on the Mesa, which is the Nieslanic Ranch mm-hmm. now. And so he can remember seeing that I'm not sure how that all came about, but that's way before my time. So, but that was a little bit of an inspiration then for the theme this year.
Well, I also understand that even before, and the photo I think you said was from kind of probably around Ernie's childhood, that biplane in front of Soper's that
right.
we've been sharing. But sometime back in 1918, a plane landed in Carbondale kind of by accident, right?
Yeah, it was looking for the Glenwood Springs Airport and couldn't find it, circled around a little bit, and it ended up landing in Carbondale, and that was the first airplane that had ever landed in Carbondale proper. So that was 100 years ago, and that's where we got our theme, Taters Take Flight.
Mm-hmm. And it was only 15 years late from the first flight out in North Carolina, right? So we weren't that far behind the
right.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, and it was fun to talk to Ernie about seeing, you know, how exciting it was to be worth walking up to the what's now the Nieslanic Ranch to see these planes come in, and the fact that biplanes were not, passé by the time it was already it was the beginning of World War II, and all these, you know, new inventions and high tech by those standards planes were flying around Europe, but not around rural Colorado. So
right.
a little different dynamic there. Just letting you know that you are tuned to KD&K. Support for KD&K comes from The Temporary, presenting swing band La Pompe Jazz on Friday. New York-based comedian Noah Garden Schwartz on Saturday, and the Dam film series, that's DAM, Dance and Music film series with Iris, documentary about creativity on Monday. Learn more at tacaw.org. KD&K has been commercial-free since 1983. Underwriting on KD&K is an effective way to market your business, reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with KD&K's reasonable underwriting packages. Email Greg at kdnk.org. Coming up next, Ask the Vet. But for now, we got about 10 more minutes of Everything Under the Sun, and we're going to keep talking about Potato Day. Sue, I think we have the schedule pretty firmed up. Walk us through what people can expect, why they should mark their calendars for October 6th.
Okay. Well, we've already got about 14 vendors signed up for Potato Day. So the vendor booths will be opening around 9 o'clock. So there'll be farm vendors as well as crafts. Not so much food, although the desserts will be provided by two organizations, Senior Matters and CRMS Preschool will be having baked goods for the dessert portion of the meal. So then the parade starts at 10:30, and that will go around to around 11:30 or so. At 11:30, games by Blue Lake Preschool, so games and face painting, things for the children to do. At 12 o'clock, from 12 to 2, is the lunch. So you'll want to line up before 12 o'clock to get your tickets to the lunch. And that will go on until 2 o'clock. But at 1:30, the Historical Society is going to be having some traditional games. So we'll have a potato sack race, and then we'll have a Mr. Potato Head pinata. And those will be with prizes. So send the kids over to the Historical Society booth. We'll have the game area set up for 1:30. We're also going to be having two bands playing that day on Soper stage. The first one is Hell Roaring String Band. I'm not sure when that starts. Was it 11?
I had that in my head at maybe noon.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the music might not start till noon.
And then what's the second band? I'm not sure. I can't remember the second band's
name. I think Cowboy Corral is playing.
Yes, Cowboy Corral is the second band. Okay, so 1:30, we got the games, we have music, and then at 3 p.m., and we just got the word on this, this is breaking news, first time ever announced, at Steve's Guitars, we are going to have a safe-cracking raffle. So we're going to raffle off the contents of the safe that is in the vault in Steve's Guitars, which is the old Dinkle building. And whatever's in the contents of that safe will be the belong to the raffle winner. You must be present to win. We'll be selling the raffle tickets for $5 a piece, or three for $10 at Potato Day. You can come to the Carbondale Historical Society booth to buy your raffle tickets, or we will be walking around also in the crowd selling them.
And we don't know the contents of this safe, is
no,
that right?
No, this safe has not been opened for possibly 50 or 60 years. Nobody knows what's in it. It's locked. It's always been locked. As far as the last three tenants of that building, they've never opened it. So we really have no idea what's in there. Tony Mazza is the owner of the Dinkle building, and he's given permission to raffle off the contents, whatever they may be. There could be money in there. There could be coins or paper money. Or there could be photographs or papers, you know, from the back in the day, maybe 60 or 70 years ago.
Or nothing.
Or
it
nothing.
Could be empty.
There could be nothing. But it'll the money from the raffle will also benefit the Carbondale Historical Society. So it's another way that you can support us at Potato Day.
Very cool. There's also a couple of other events going on. Ross Montessori is going to be doing a run starting at 8, registration starting at 7, kind of a success, spiritual successor, we'll say, to the old Tater Trot. And I understand, and it's not Carbondale Wild West Rodeo that Melanie is involved. She confirms they're not doing it, but I have heard that there may be a Gymkhana or some sort of event at 3 in the afternoon. So you can keep pretty busy all day with Potato Day events. Want to circle back to the parade really quickly, because one of the things that I've heard expressed is a concern that, especially in an election year, that things might be contentious, or that people might not be perfectly pleasant during the parade. Melanie, would you like to expand on that?
Well, I hope everybody will behave, to put it politely, but there are differences in political opinions, as everybody knows, and I think it's worthwhile to let these different candidates, you know, they're expressing what their concerns are, and so everyone needs to accept that, and we're hoping that there isn't any slander or anything. There has been some news of that in other parts of the country, but as far as I know, we haven't really ever had that in Carbondale, so I'm not looking for it to happen, but just for people to be aware and allow these candidates to express their opinions and be part of it. And we're hoping the candidates will also step up and really put something unique and fun into the parade and not just be a walking candidate, but that's fine too. So again, let's all, you know, just have the community camaraderie that we know this community is capable of.
For sure. Well, thanks for that. And I think that's a worthy message. Let's show the other communities how friendly and accommodating we can be as a town, when we disagree. Sue, anything else you think people ought to know about this Potato Day in particular?
Well, we could definitely use more volunteers.
Okay.
It takes a lot of volunteers to put a Potato Day on, apparently. This is my first one in the planning capacity, but we are always looking for volunteers. And if you want to volunteer, you can contact us at info@carbondalehistory.com, or you can call me at 970-414-1078 if you'd like to volunteer for Potato Day.
Awesome. Just so you know, actually, none of this is in this week's paper. We're talking about things that we've talked about before and that we'll be talking about again, but this just happened to be the timing that we could get these folks on the radio, which is awesome. There is content in this week's paper, I assure you. We managed to catch up with some folks who had known Sue Bacon, who was a longtime local who passed away a couple of weeks ago, and wrote a letter to Carbondale or dictated one from her deathbed, which I thought was kind of pulled on my heartstrings to get a letter to the editor from beyond the grave, from somebody who had her eyesight going and had still had the Soper Sun read to her every Thursday and particularly liked Cop Shop. So I guess we could say this week's Cop Shop is dedicated to her. Not that there's anything terribly sensational in there. We also have a story on CMS or a photo of CMS that just Carbondale Middle School just received a pretty prestigious award for innovation. CMC is putting together an interesting program to help sort of a scholarship program for dreamers, folks involved with the Dream Act. That's breaking news. We weren't even allowed to put it online last night because it was still embargoed. Roaring Fork Rams, first in the state for 3A in the boys soccer category, which is awesome. They're just kind of dominating out there. They tied a 5A school that made it to the playoffs last year, and they're 3A. And they'll be playing homecoming for Under the Lights. We'll probably have them on October 4th. Melanie, you looked like you might want to say something.
Well, yes, in regards to the schools and the parade welcomes participation from the schools, from the elementary school, the high school. We would love to see entries happen with those classes. Normally with homecoming, yes, a lot of the freshmen, sophomore, you know, they all have many years put in a float, but we'd like to see them get a little more competitive also, just even if it's amongst themselves. So again, it's not just the business community. We'd like to have involvement from everyone, but also the schools. Please support your community and have some great fun while you're doing it also, and be part of the parade.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think we had kind of a schools focused issue that reflects that combination between the community and the schools. They're a close relation. And I harp on about that in almost every radio show, because I really do believe that. And I think Potato Day is one of those great examples of the two coming together, because it's time to coincide with homecoming. We just had the Stucco rep in talking with our committee, trying to figure out how we can get some kids volunteering to help make the event come together. It's a pretty cool collaboration of all ages and different creeds, as it were. Sue, you look like you might have something to say.
Well, I just really appreciate the support of the Soperet Sun and this community for the Historical Society, being that we are one of the main beneficiaries this year. In past years, scholarships have been given out with the lunch money, profits mm-hmm. from the lunch. This year, we are the beneficiary, and I just really want to thank our community for the support that they've shown us in keeping us going.
Thanks very much, and we're happy to do it. Or at least I am. I can't speak for the rest of the committee. Just as we're wrapping up here, more in the paper. Read about True Nature's gender talk. Really kind of stretching the bounds of what we can do. And we certainly aren't. I'm not sure we're a small town anymore. I wonder that sometimes. But Potato Day is our chance to be that again, at least for a day. So in the best possible meaning of the word. Anything either of you'd like to add?
No, I think that wraps it up for us.
Okay. Check out this week's Soperet Sun on stands now, and mark your calendars for October 6th, Potato Day. And stay tuned for Ask the Vet.